2 Peter chapter 3. Begin reading tonight in verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. I'm going to let you sit, let you rest tonight for the reading. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 9 through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. That promise is making a direct reference to the promise of His coming. You remember in chapter number 3 and verse number 4, the scoffer said, where is the promise of His coming? And so the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He promised He'd come. He hadn't forgot about His promise. He'll keep His promise that He's coming again. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now that word conversation there is not just talking about our speech. It's talking about our behavior. It's talking about our way of life, how that we live. The Bible said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to His promise, there it is again, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, this is where my heart is tonight. These two words, be diligent. This morning we preached on we ought to be stirred up and we ought to be excited and we ought to be thanking God. In chapter 1, for His calling, He called us. Thank God we're saved. We answered the call, said yes to the Lamb of God. In chapter 2, the conflict. It's going on in the world, but it's just telling us that we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. And then in chapter number 3, it ought to stir our hearts as we think about His coming. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, our Lord will come again. The Bible said, be diligent. Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Scripture. Thank you for the Savior that loved us and gave Himself for us. I pray these next few minutes tonight, Lord, will prove to be a blessing to our precious people. Truly, Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Help us to remember that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. You've only been gone back to heaven a couple of days. And Lord, soon you'll return for your church. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll bless us as we study the Word of God together. Help us, we pray. Give us something, Lord, that'll help us through the week. Help us, Lord, to be diligent as we live our lives for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you something tonight. I looked up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the definition of the word diligent. It means steady in application to business. Do you remember when Jesus said, I must needs be about my Father's business. The Christian life, beloved, is about our Father's business. Amen. I had a lady tell me one time as I was knocking on doors, she said, I wish you would mind your own business. And I said, I am. Amen. My Father put me in this business. Amen. And I'm minding my own business. The steady in application to business, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. If you read the definition of the word diligent, I believe most of us could say there have been seasons in our life when we weren't very diligent. Amen. At the things of God. The definition says attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent. That's the definition of the word diligent. And Peter, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming, he says those two words, be diligent. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures to be. I think it was Warren Wiersbe had a B series. Be holy. Amen. Amen. Be diligent. Be ready. There's all kinds of B's. But tonight, God wants us to focus on this be diligent. I meant to say this morning. It's not in my notes, but I just thought sometimes we take for granted that everybody knows. When you're talking about the coming of the Lord, the rapture and the second coming are two different things. A lot of people, I should have said that this morning. I meant to say it this morning. But anyway, tonight I want to say that. The rapture, Jesus comes in the air, and the church goes to meet him in the air. Amen? He comes for his own. But in the second coming of the Lord, we come with him. He comes with his own. And he puts one foot on the Mount of Olives and the other on the sea. Amen? And it's going to be a blessed time for the children of God. We will, beloved, the tribulation hour will be over. The blinders will have been taken off of the Jewish people. And beloved, so all Israel, the word of God said, shall be saved. I hope you're praying for Israel. I hope if you don't know why you should be praying for Israel, you'll listen to the Wednesday night service a couple weeks back. Amen. Why every Christian should pray for and support the nation of Israel. It's still true. God said to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. I don't know about you. I don't want to live under a curse. Amen. The curse of God. I want to be blessed of the Lord. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11, just a little bit of introduction. We'll get right into the message. The Bible said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Y'all remember that text, right? For we must believe that he is, watch this now, and that he's a rewarder of them that, anybody know the next word? Diligently seek him. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe if the church of the living God would diligently seek the Lord, we ain't seen nothing yet. I believe God could pour out a revival like we ain't never seen, amen. I believe God could shake our country. I believe God could help us, amen, in America. To be a help around the world. Tonight, I'll give you three areas that I believe in the text God wants us to be diligent in. Number one, be diligent in our living. I said a while ago, the word conversation is a manner of life, our behavior, our way of life. In verse number 11, the Bible said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In verse number 14, he said, be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, God doesn't want us just to flippantly live our lives as God's people. God wants us to be diligent, amen, in our living. Number one, I believe God wants us to live in peace. That's what the Bible said right there. Be found of him in peace. The Word of God said, as much as possible, as much as lieth in you, to live peaceably with all men. Amen. I don't know about you. Some people, I believe, live for turmoil. I don't like turmoil. Do you? Amen. I used to have a buddy that I worked with and hunted with, and he'd rather argue than eat, and he loved to eat. Amen. I'm just telling you, God said, I want you to live in peace. And I believe that, don't you? That God wants us to do that. And then I believe the Bible teaches us that God wants us to live in purity. He said, all holy conversation. Let me say this to you tonight. A lot of people, we believe, I'm just saying this, that if a person's saved, they're saved forever. Amen? That God don't save somebody temporarily. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what people say. They say, if I believed that, I'd go live like hell. If you knew the Jesus I knew, you wouldn't want to live like hell. Amen? You've done that before you come to know Him. Amen? So why would you want to go back to that mess? Amen? No, that's not what the Bible's teaching. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, shall we sin that grace may abound? And God used two words. Paul said, God forbid. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? The Bible teaches, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. That don't mean that man's perfect, but it does mean this. He's striving to live a life that's godly. Amen? And he wants his life to be a reflection of the grace of God. Live in peace and live in purity. And then I believe that we ought to be living with patience. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, he's coming, but he hasn't come yet. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 real quickly. Right there before the book of Peter. Hebrews chapter number 11. Y'all pray for me. There's all kinds of junk going around. And my throat's getting sore by the moment as I preach tonight. Amen. I hope I don't have any of that junk. Amen. If I do, I'm going to blame it on Miss Eve. I've been caught kissing her this week. Amen. I'm going to blame it on her. Amen. All right. The Bible said here, cast not, look at verse 35 of chapter 10. I think I said chapter 11. Verse 35 of chapter 10. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will... Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there anybody in this house that has need of patience besides me? Hallelujah. And we're talking about the coming of the Lord now. Don't give up. Amen. He's coming. Just wait on Him. The Bible said after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. Watch this verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe, beloved, that there are many Christians tonight that are no longer diligent in their living for God. Amen. But that doesn't mean they're unsaved. Amen. And Paul in Hebrews said, I have no pleasure in that. Amen. And the Word of God teaches that some, when Jesus comes, are going to be saved so as by fire, they're not going to have a reward at all. They put their trust in Christ, and that's as far as they got. Beloved, we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Scripture teaches. We need to be diligent in our living. Secondly tonight, we need to be diligent in our looking. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. Brother Wayne, we were talking today after church, and I was telling Brother Wayne about losing my hearing aid that day. We had the fall festival up here, and Brother Gary, we was pretty diligent looking for it, wasn't we? Amen? We looked everywhere. I believe Houston had it in his pocket. What do you think, Brother Gary? But anyway, we looked everywhere for that thing. Well, Brother Wayne, I didn't know it, but he was in the hospital over there in the rehab place, and he lost his. And you know what I did? We were standing there, and I didn't even know he lost it. I said, Miss Eve, what's that? And she said, I don't know. I reached down there and got it. It was Brother Wayne's hearing aid. Get the beat all. They'd done cleaned the room 3 days in a row. Yeah. You'll get that after a while, amen. And there it laid, right there at the bottom of the bed, under there. I guess they're just pushing it around. Wouldn't you like to think they at least pushed it around a little bit, amen. But anyway, we found it. But you know that woman in the Bible that lost that coin, she swept diligently. In other words, she found it. Beloved, we ought to be looking for Jesus diligently. Amen. How many's ever lost something? I mean, you looked and you got the flashlight and you looked and, honey, you've done everything in your power to find it. Amen. You know what I've done many times? I give up and prayed. I said, God, you're going to have to help me or I ain't going to find it. Amen. Well, I'll tell you why I didn't find the hearing aid, because I got something 10 times better. Amen. The Lord wanted me to have something I could hear with. I heard the choir this morning. I heard that guitar. I heard that fine singing tonight. What a blessing, amen, to be able to hear with our ears. We ought to be looking, diligent looking. A couple things here tonight. Verse number 12, we ought to be looking for the day. The Bible said, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. How many believes the songwriter got it right when he said, what a day that will be when by Jesus I shall see. Brother Dale, I wish you could see my daddy stand in the choir and sing that song. Daddy'd hold that hand up there like that when he takes me by the hand, and you wondered if he was just going on. Amen. I'm telling you, that ought to be real in our lives. We ought to be looking for him and looking for that day. But then I'll tell you what, we ought to be looking at what will be dissolved. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 12. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, it would do you and I good. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You say, what's that got to do with the coming of the Lord? I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of us would be a lot better off if we realized everything we're looking at is temporary. Amen. We wouldn't get so tore out of the frame. Amen. If we just realized, beloved, listen, it's going to burn one day. You say, well, I live in a brick house. I do too. But I'm going to tell you something. If God's going to get her hot enough to melt the rock, it'll melt the brick too. Say amen. It's going to burn one day after a while. We ought to have a great deal of peace in our heart and not let the things of this world get us all bent out of shape. Because, beloved, we're going up. Amen. And leave it to the old devil. Amen. Then we ought to be looking for deliverance. Look at verse number 13 here. The Bible said, nevertheless, according to His promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter number 8. You say, Pastor, looking for deliverance. Let me say something to you tonight. The creation of God is looking for deliverance. And if the creation itself is looking for deliverance, you and I certainly tonight ought to be looking for that same deliverance. Notice what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. I shared that verse with a lady, I guess probably a couple years ago. And that precious lady looked at me and said, Pastor, it must be some kind of glory. I'm telling you, beloved, someone had been through trial after trial after trial after trial, and yet standing diligent and standing steadfast for the things of God. I'm going to tell you this tonight. It is some kind of glory that you and I are about to enter into. Amen. The Bible said the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, look at that right there. I just saw something right there. The creation, you know what they're waiting on? The manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. God is going to take His church out of here. Amen. And what a blessing that's going to be. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, to wit, the redemption of our body. I don't know about you tonight, beloved, but we ought to be looking forward to that. Amen. That ought to stir us up to realize there's a day coming when there'll never be another sorrow, never be another pain, never be another graveside service. Amen. Never be another hospital. Never be another nursing home. Never be another wing down there with dementia where people can't remember their names. Amen. I want you to know that day's coming for God's children. Amen. And we're going to be delivered. The Bible said, for we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. We ought to be diligent in our living. Diligent, beloved, in our looking. But I want to give you this tonight. This is the last thing and the final thing in the message. We ought to be diligent in our learning. One of the things that Brother Don left with me, 85, I believe, years old when he left us. I believe he was 85. He might have been 86. I'd have to go back and look. But Brother Don left this and it stuck in my heart. He said, Pastor, I'm still learning. Hallelujah. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you know. Beloved, if you're not diligent in your learning, then, beloved, you're failing in the things of God. You say, Pastor, why should we be diligent in our learning? Let's read the text, first of all. Look at verse 16. As also in his epistles, speaking to them these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. I'll be honest with you. Some things I don't understand. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand the coffins that are about that long. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can be living for God, right? And I know man after man and woman after woman, right, in the prime of their life and be serving God wide open. And God, I don't understand. There are a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. Boy, I'm going to shout over what I do understand. I was a sinner, and he's a Savior. Glory to God, that's all I needed to know. Amen. And the sinner come to the Savior, and the Savior said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Like what the Bible said here. They unlearned, unstable, they rest, or they wrestle with it. And they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. I had a man tell me one time I was witnessing to. He said, if I can ever figure God out, I'll trust him. It's what I said to him. I said, if you ever figure him out, he'd be a mighty small God. Ain't nobody going to figure God out. Amen. I like what one old preacher said. He said, when you can't track him, in other words, you don't know what he's up to, you can still trust him.
Amen.
I like a God like that, don't you?
Yeah.
You can still trust him. Amen. We need to be diligent in our learning. He said, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I want to say something before I go on in the message right there. Do you know who the cults prey on? They don't prey, Brother Larry, on those people down there at the bar. They don't prey on those people down there that's shooting drugs in their arms. And they don't prey on people, beloved, that's out here on the street. You know who the cults prey on? Church people. You say, now, Pastor, what do you mean? Oh, you let them hear about somebody. Amen. You say, Pastor, there's cults in America. They're all around. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. Those people that are teaching that Jesus was just a good man, he was a good prophet, but he's not the Son of God, that's a cult. I'm telling you, those that don't believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're a cult. Amen. And I'm telling you, who they prey on is people that are not diligent in their learning. All they know is what the preacher said. Well, God help us if that's all we know. We ought to take this nose God give us and put it in this book God give us and learn some things for ourselves. Amen. Be diligent in our learning. Let me give you three reasons why, and I'm done. Number one, it's necessary to grow. In chapter number 3 here in verse number 18, the first part of the verse, the Bible said, but, in other words, don't fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's necessary to grow. We must be diligent in our learning. I want to say this to you tonight. I think you can appreciate it. I hope you can. Those of you that's taught Sunday school, or if there's anybody in here, Brother John, that's preached the message. Brother John, have you ever looked back at an outline maybe that you had written in the margin of your Bible or something when you first started out preaching? Have you ever looked back at something? Well, when you preach that, I mean, it's the way it is with me. Man, I was excited about it. I couldn't wait to get in the pulpit. I couldn't wait to deliver the mail that God gave me. I've heard people talk about going back and preaching something they preached years. I look at that. It don't do a thing for me now. I wonder how in the world did anybody get anything. You say, why, preacher? Because God's let me grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I used to take a text and run from that text fast as you can run from it. Run all over the Bible. Amen. And now God will let me take just a few verses. You say, Pastor, you bragging? No, I'm just saying we're growing. I'm still growing. More ways than one. Don't laugh right there. It's not time to laugh. I'm growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Growing other ways as well. Amen. I used to be growing up, but anymore it's growing out. Necessary to grow. Necessary, number two, to guard. We need to guard against these things. The unlearned, the stable, they rest. Being led away with the error, the wicked fall from our own steadfastness. Let me say this to you tonight. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter how long you've been saved. It don't matter how much you know. You and I both, pulpit to the pew, are subject to fall from our own steadfastness. Did you hear me? I believe with all of my heart, when we understand Jesus is coming, we ought to diligently seek Him, be diligent in our living, diligent in our looking, but we ought to be diligent in our learning. It's necessary to grow. It's necessary to guard against the evils of this world. But number three, it's necessary to glory. Look at the last part here. I don't believe God gets any glory out of somebody that falls from their steadfastness. And if we're going to give glory to God, you know what Paul said? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, Paul is saying the cross is a divider of men. It's the cross that keeps me out of the world. You'll like this, Brother Jack, and it's the cross that keeps the world out of me. Amen. One old preacher said one time, he had a young preacher say to him, said, man, I'd give the world to have what you have. He said, that's what it costs me. You'll get that after a while. Amen. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. It's necessary to glory. The Bible said here, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. I want to bring glory to Him, don't you? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, it stirs me up when I see somebody trust the Lord. It stirs me up when I see somebody growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Brother Jason's Sunday school class, it's a big horseshoe over there now. You can go over there and it's full all the way around it. You say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do now? Well, we'll just add a table. That ain't no problem. Amen. Send them in. Amen. Let them sit down and learn the good things of God. He's teaching through the book of Proverbs, doing a great job. Amen. Every one of us need to be diligent in our living, diligent in our looking. Are you looking for Him tonight? Let me say this to you. If you're looking for Him, you're living for Him. Amen. The person ain't living for the Lord, ain't looking for the Lord. But if you're looking for Him, you're living for Him. And then, beloved, I believe you're learning. You're wanting to be diligent in your learning. Pick this Bible up. Don't let it sit there from Sunday to Wednesday and don't even crack it, or Sunday to Sunday. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I don't mean this to be smart, but some people, it goes from Easter to Easter. Some, it goes from Christmas to Christmas. Amen. And it shouldn't be that way. God wants His people to be learning. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. If you don't know the Savior tonight, I encourage you to trust Him. He's a wonderful friend. Amen. The best friend you'll ever have in this world. His name is Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.